We have a special guest speaker today. He's traveled through space and time, long distance to get here. So put on your imagination. He was one of the 12 disciples who spent time with Jesus when Jesus walked on the earth. And he's here today to share his story.
Good morning. My name is Thomas. And my story of Jesus starts about 3 years before he was crucified. Jesus came on the scene preaching the gospel of the kingdom and performing miracles like we had never seen before, and his teaching like we'd never heard before. His teaching had such substance and weight and authority to it, like we'd never heard from any of the scribes or the Pharisees. And his miracles, healing people, raising people from the dead, feeding 5,000, calming the storm. We had never seen anything like it. We believed that this Jesus Christ was the long-awaited and hoped-for Messiah that the Old Testament had promised. He was going to be like a King David, only greater, much greater. And Jesus very quickly gathered masses of followers. And out of those masses of followers, there were those who were called disciples who embraced his teaching. And then one day, Jesus, out of all this mass of disciples, chose 12 of us to become intimate with him and to travel with him and to live with him. And I was fortunate to be one of them. And so for 3 years, the 12 disciples, as we were known, traveled with him. We learned from him. We ate with him. We learned to minister alongside of Jesus. And we had hopes that he would be the greater King David, who would overthrow Roman rule. And God's people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, would be free from political tyranny and military tyranny. Our hopes were high. The hopes of the common people were high. But that came crashing down one day when Jesus was arrested, falsely accused, sentenced to death in a mock trial. The Romans knew how to squelch any attempt or anyone or anything that they thought was going to create a revolt against their rule. The Romans had perfected death on a cross. It was a long, painful suffocation on public display for everyone to see. Jesus, our hope and our Messiah, had been killed. The 12 of us were devastated. We were disillusioned. We were despondent. See, it wasn't just that our friend and our Messiah or our rabbi had died, but our hopes and our dreams and what we thought was the promise of the Old Testament had been squashed. And so what were we to do? On top of that, we ourselves were in hiding because we thought, we didn't think actually, the Jewish leaders were looking for us. And we feared that we would face the same fate that Jesus. And so we were in hiding. We were staying out of the public. And then 3 days later, the rumors started. The rumors that Jesus had risen from the dead. I thought, impossible. A man doesn't just raise himself from the dead. And then one Sunday, actually the first Sunday after his death, all the disciples had gathered together, but I was unable to make it. And then when I saw them, they told me that they had seen the Lord, that when they were gathered in a room behind locked doors, that Jesus had appeared to them and showed them the wounds on his hands and the stab wound in his side. Impossible, I thought. I told them I would never believe it unless I myself saw the wounds on his hands, the wounds on his feet, and the stab in his side. Now, you may know me as Doubting Thomas. That's the nickname that I picked up in the annals of church history. But I don't think that's entirely fair. Call me an honest skeptic, but not a doubter. I had to see Jesus himself. I had to see the wounds in his hands. I had to see the wound in his side to believe. If I saw that, I would believe. But until then, I wouldn't believe. And so all week long, as the disciples gathered together, they would tell me, "We have seen the risen Lord." I said, "No way." And so it created an internal turmoil within me, a war in my mind, if you will. Had he risen? No, he couldn't have risen. But I knew these guys. They were certain they had seen him. But how could a dead man raise himself up? We saw him killed. So for 7 days, I heard them say over and over again, every time we gathered, "We had seen the risen Lord," with joy in their hearts, almost like they were giddy over it. And their hopes had been raised. And so the next Sunday, we gathered again. And the doors were locked again because we feared the Jews and the Jewish leaders. And that's when it happened. Jesus showed up amongst us. I was shocked. I was overwhelmed with emotion. And Jesus looked at us and he said, "Peace be to you." Now, that was just a normal Jewish greeting. But with Jesus, it was much more than that. This was the risen Jesus. And so what he was saying in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our uncertainties, in the midst of the threat of death, he was saying to us, "Peace." In Jesus' words and his presence melted all of our fears. Where do you go in the midst of your turmoil? In the midst of fear, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of worry, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of the struggles of life, where do you go for peace? The only thing, the only one who will bring ultimate peace to you in the midst of your struggles is Jesus. His word and his presence is enough to overcome all your anxieties, to go overcome all your difficulties, to go overcome all your turmoil. And then Jesus turned and he looked right at me and looked me in the eyes. And he said, Thomas, look at my wounds. Look at my side. Touch me. And I was overcome with emotions. All these thoughts that I had been struggling with all week long, like a storm in the midst of the sea, just became calm. And everything, for the first time, became clear. And my natural reaction was to respond, my Lord and my God. Now you may be saying, how did you come from disbelief to belief just like that? Why didn't you say, he's alive? You're alive. Let me tell you, that's a good question. Because all week long, the 10 disciples had been telling me that we have seen him. He's alive. And in the midst of that certainty that I heard from them, knowing them, having lived with them for 3 years, have eaten with them, slept with them, and been in all kinds of difficult situations and trying situations, I knew they were credible witnesses. But I could not believe that a man could rise from the dead on his own. And so I was in a mental wrestling match all week long. And the words and the sayings of Jesus started coming to my mind as I wrestled over this reality. Things like Jesus would say, things like, before Abraham was, I am. Or the time when he healed that paralytic and he said, your sins are forgiven. And we knew that only God could forgive sins. Or the time that he proclaimed that God was his own father, and it made the Jewish leaders irate because they knew that he was claiming to be equal with God. Or the other saying that was so confusing at the time, he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will rebuild it. And then there was the time that he said, all judgment has been handed over to me. And as these thoughts came to my mind, and I would rebut them, and I would say, no, it can't be true, and then I would come up with these new thoughts. And when Jesus presented himself to me, it became all clear that Jesus just wasn't a wise teacher. He wasn't just a rabbi, but he was my God and my Lord, or my Lord and my God. Wasn't just a statement of fact. He was my Lord and he was my God. It has been said that that is the greatest confession in the New Testament. And it was at that point that I realized that Jesus just wasn't a good teacher. Everybody throughout history has said that Jesus' teaching is above all. And you may be thinking that, oh, I love Jesus' teaching. But that stuff about him being God, that stuff about him dying as a sacrifice for our sins, that is too archaic. It's too narrow. It's too divisive. But Jesus claimed to be more than a wise teacher. He claimed to be more than just a good teacher. He claimed to be God and Lord. What Jesus says isn't nearly as significant as what Jesus did. See, what Jesus taught is about me. But what Jesus did is about what he did for you. We like Jesus' teaching because it tells me what to do. It gives me a guide, a moral example of how to live. But that isn't sufficient. So what he did is much more important than what he said. Because what he did on the cross was to bear the weight and the penalty of your sin and my sin. And without the resurrection, what Jesus said has no eternal significance. Apart from the resurrection, Jesus' words are meaningless. That's why Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is more than just a good teacher. He was God in the flesh. He was the wounded God that was wounded for you and for me. He was the God who died on our behalf. And without his death, his words have no meaning. And so you can't just take Jesus' teaching without embracing what Jesus did for you. You either crown him as Lord or you crucify him. And that's what they did. Because they rejected him as their Lord. The Jewish leaders rejected the very one who came to deliver them. You either embrace what he did, or you write him off as delusional, as a madman, because he claimed to be more than a wise teacher. He claimed to be God. Where are you today with Jesus? Is he just a religious figure for you, as he was for many of the religious leaders of the day? Was he just a good teacher that you'll take when you want to and write him off when you don't? Is he just a figment of imagination, which historians prove he wasn't, that he was an actual figure that lived and died? And even Jewish writer Josephus, who didn't believe in him as the Messiah, acknowledged that he rose from the grave. That day, I made the shift in my mind and in my heart that Jesus was more than a religious teacher. That Jesus was more than my rabbi. Jesus was my Lord and my God. And then Jesus makes this interesting comment to me. He says, you have believed because you have seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. It's as though Jesus knew 2,000 years later that we would be here today listening to my story. And when Jesus said that, what he meant was that the testimony of the apostles, including my testimony, was trustworthy. And for those that believe, because of the testimony of the apostles, they will be blessed. That is, that they will experience God's favor, God's approval. They will live the blessed life. And so what Jesus said to me, stop disbelieving, but believe. I challenge you with today. Stop disbelieving, but believe. This is my story, Thomas, the disciple. If you are here today and you have never put your faith in Christ and you have doubts, you have questions about Christianity, we have books that are in the back. The one would be The Case for Christ and The Case for Easter. We would love for you to read those. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those questions. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy that is found in the cross and in the resurrection. And Lord, I ask for those of us that have nagging doubts or questions or are skeptical, I ask, Lord, what you do best, and you would open up blind eyes, you would bring clarity where there is confusion, you would help them think clarity where it's cloudy. Lord, I ask that you would bless this day as we spend time with family and friends, that we would relish the grace that is found in the gospel of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day. Oh, if you like prayer, the prayer teams will be up front. We'd love to pray for you.
Risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.